Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. How are we doing out there, everybody? All right, here we go. Another episode of the Third Realm Integration Podcast. And today I'm going to break something down for everybody. And my empaths that are listening, I want you to center yourself before you hear the message. Because it's not going to feel good at first, but there's a method to the madness. So if you are an empath and you are listening to this episode, pause. Take a deep breath and accept the fact that empathy is narcissism, not compassion. Okay. All right. Here we go. Why is empathy not compassion? I've alluded to this and talked about it briefly in previous episodes. In the world of Jungian psychology, empathy is nothing but a positive projection. Now, it's a positive one. So it definitely carries a lighter vibration than some of the darker projections that the human psyche will thrash and throw out onto the world and the people in it. But empathy is a projection that comes from our discomfort with feeling our own pain and anguish. Now, empaths can feel the emotions of other people, and it's not comfortable. So what will an empath do? They will try to save, rescue, or fix the person that they perceive to be in pain. And they will chalk it up to being humanitarian, to being compassionate, to having an open heart. And all you're doing is projecting your desire to squirm and run away from the discomfort that you feel when you perceive that somebody else is in pain, which makes it entirely narcissistic. You do not help anybody having empathy. You can only help yourself and others when you harden your heart with compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is something, is the flower that blooms out of the seed of empathy. So empathy gets the ball rolling, and empathy gives you the opportunity to look deep inside and to see what your projection really is. What is coming from the shadow that is unknown to you? Because it's very easy to think, because you have empathy, you're this great, amazing, open-hearted, compassionate, noble person. In part, that is true. So I want to be mindful of this. I'm building a course right now to help heal the empath. I am an empath myself, but I would not be an effective PhD researcher, and I would not have gotten to the point that I'm at in my healing journey if I didn't have a healthy level of self-criticism. So, through my own self-criticism of analyzing my own wounds and how they show up in my desire to help others, which is really just a desire to truly eradicate the pain and suffering that lives within me, I am challenged and tasked with the adventure of getting really clear about my own projections, especially those that emanate from the shadow. So, I shared this with you because I have a great affinity for the experience of empathy. I have great respect for people who are true empaths. And I just want to say this because being, you know, the term empath has become sort of quite a kind of like pop culture-y kind of term. A lot of people that think they're empaths probably really aren't. I don't know. If you're an empath, maybe you really are. But I think sometimes people are just highly sensitive, maybe highly sensitive people, and they can't tolerate a lot of stimulation. That's not the same as being an empath. That's a highly sensitive person. Now, an empath is oftentimes also a highly sensitive person, but a highly sensitive person is not necessarily an empath. So I just want to make that distinction. An empath feels the pain of other people. That's why they have such a hard time setting boundaries and being assertive and putting themselves first. Because the fear is that if I take care of myself by setting a boundary and turning my empathy into compassion, by having a safe and healthy boundary around my heart, that I am not going to be able to tolerate the reaction that you have. So therefore, I'm now putting myself in your shoes to a detrimental extent. Excuse me, my throat's a little dry today. Maybe there's something going on there with me speaking the truth that I'm speaking right now, and I'm clearing out some of the blocks in my own throat chakra here because the power of choice comes from the throat, and the empaths struggle significantly with that. A lot of empaths will have thyroid issues. I had a thyroid cyst, a huge, huge cyst on my throat when I was 14 and didn't even know, and that's how oblivious I was to the fact that I had a power blockage, power of choice blockage in my throat. I didn't even notice it. The person that I was dating at the time saw me drink out of a water bottle and tipped my head back and was like, dude, what's up with that ball on your throat? Like, it's off to the side and it's going up and down as you drink. You might want to get that checked out. And it didn't end up being cancerous, but it was big and it didn't have to get removed. And some of the thyroid tissue around it also had to get removed with it. So if you struggle with sore throat, having to clear your throat, you might want to think about, where am I blocked in my power of choice? What is my voice? How am I using my voice? And so what an empath will do is a disempowered empath will fall into patterns of codependency because they will start taking responsibility for the reactions of other people when they assert themselves and command respect, which is the opposite of demanding respect. So when you harden your heart with compassion, you're coming into that place of detachment from other people's pain, which is where you get your clarity. Otherwise, you are spinning as one human being that has everybody else's state of consciousness in your mind. And that's a busy, loud, noisy place to be. I often use the metaphor, when we find our groove in our healing and we begin to feel the relief, it is as if the noise has been turned down, the volume has been turned down, and that's essential. Otherwise, you're living in a state of confusion and you're living your life according to everybody else's feelings that are around you, and that's not healthy. So empathy is not compassion. It's the beginning of compassion. If everybody in the world had strong empathy, we'd be in a better place than we are today. But the soul's evolution wants to take empathy further into the space of compassion. And compassion is when you can be present with just what is and not need to fix it because you're not feeling the discomfort of that thing. And so therefore, there's no drive for you to save it, fix it, eliminate it, eradicate it, master it. Well, you want to master it, but you don't want to dominate it. You don't want to try to, you know, it's the idea of getting rid of it. Oh, I got to get rid of this feeling. I just have to get rid of this feeling. And so what you'll do is you'll just get rid of the people around you that carry all of their own shit because you're carrying it also as the empath. Now, here's the issue with being the empath that and how it affects other people. You're disempowering the people whose emotions you're taking on because you're not giving them the opportunity to consciously carry their suffering on their own. You're carrying it for them. Now, if you want to dedicate your life to that and you just are not burnt out at all by carrying other people's pain and you feel like that is what you're here on this planet to do, is to do that, then I'm not going to tell you otherwise. The problem is when we get burnt out, when we have reactions to carrying other people's pain, when we get resentful and we get annoyed and then we blow up. Or we repress it so much and we keep our lips so shut, right? Like just zip them. We're not going to ever express that we are tired of helping that person in the way that we've been helping them. We're never going to express that we don't want to take on somebody else's pain because we have that should inside, that core belief that says we're a bad person if we're not there for everybody. the problem is when you have that reaction. So when you burn out, that's when you know that that's probably not your path in life to hold everybody else's suffering. Because if you don't have a reaction to it, then this doesn't apply to you. If you do, though, then it does. And so, you know, I think even the best scholars and even the best teachers in the space of healing, they talk about compassion and empathy, and they use the terms interchangeably, and that's just not accurate. And there's not a lot of literature out here about this. I think probably Buddhism gets as close as possible to compassion, but there's also kind of a misconception there too, because I've seen in the Buddhist literature that compassion is defined as the desire to alleviate the suffering of the other. And that's not the kind of compassion that I'm really talking about here. I'm talking about the compassion that one has for themselves. To put the boundary around the heart so you know that your space is keeping your boundary around your heart. The goal of the boundary is to keep your soul in and not to lose it in the projection that you're putting out there through the empathy. So, in order to reclaim your power as an empath, you have to learn how to transmute the empathy into compassion. If you're having a reaction to being the empath, you're drained, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're frustrated, you're resentful. And so this is a big piece, and I don't mean to be harsh on my empaths. The reason why I'm having this conversation with the airwaves, and hopefully people are listening, is because empaths are probably one of the biggest gifts that this planet has right now. And if we don't take 100% responsibility for the gift that we've been given as the empath, we are wasting the gift. So the potential here and the magnitude and what is on the line here is huge. And I don't want to see that go to waste. I want people that have this gift to be able to transform it and use it for the greater good. Otherwise, you're going to have to come back here for many more lifetimes to figure it out. And I'm here to tell you, you can figure it out now. So I have a great investment in seeing the healing of this collective take place. And in my opinion, it's the empaths that are going to make it happen. So I'm here to be the coach to come in and say, shape up or ship out. The task is now. Put your feet to the fire and do the work, because you've been given and you have requested and you have chosen, your soul has chosen a big responsibility here. And so you will not be fulfilling your sacred contract in doing the work that your soul signed up to come here to do if you do not learn how to turn empathy into compassion. And I just want to be really transparent about this. I am speaking from a place of, like I always say, the teacher who is the lifelong student. I am in constant school. I am in this earth school that is learning from the divine and trying to integrate the two. I will be the forever student. Even those that work with me know I'm coming in with something new like every week. I'm like, oh, I've been researching this little thing. Why don't we talk about this? Or I just kind of discovered this element. Why don't we talk about that? Or in my meditation, I just got this download. What does this mean to you? So I'm constantly bringing in something new. I don't do stagnation. I am on a forward movement. As I said in a previous episode, I am a devotee to the path of enlightenment. And I think every empath, frankly, is. And a lot of empaths will turn towards drugs and alcohol to numb all of this. It's huge, huge. Codependency and drug addiction in the life of an empath is like coffee and cream. It's like Bonnie and Clyde. They freaking go together like peanut butter and jelly. And I came from that place because I didn't know how to deal with all of what I was feeling, because most of what I was feeling didn't even belong to me. So not only could I not figure out what was mine and what wasn't, but now I had this whole soup of all kinds of emotional reactions that it was just too much. Too many cooks in the kitchen. So what do? Gets too overwhelming, you get a numb out. And so anybody that you know that's struggling with drug addiction, there's a really good chance that they're an empath. And there's probably a really good chance that you see lots of flares of narcissism in them also. And the two go hand in hand. It's also the reason why empaths will draw in the malignant and destructive narcissists. Not just because we have an open heart and we're kind and we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for you. It's not just that. And then the narcissist uses the empath as the dumping ground for all of their chaotic emotions that keep them on their high 24/7. And they get to offload it when they need to onto the empath. It's not just that magnetic connection that draws the two together. In the world of Jungian psychology, we always take a look at what we have emotional reactions to, because there is a part of that in us that is left unhealed and unintegrated, which is why we're having the reaction in the first place. So the empath draws in the destructive and the malignant narcissist, because the empath is their own version of narcissist. And so they line up. They are on opposite ends of the same cord, but they're still part of the same cord. They're still an unseen, unacknowledged, and unconscious vibrational frequency that lines the two up like magnets. So one reflects the other, but not in a literal way, not in the obvious, that person's a malignant narcissist. All they do is talk about themselves. They have to be the center of attention. Their drama has to dominate and dictate every interaction that I have with them. It's all about me, me, me. And then that's part of the destructive one. They're dumping off their chaos and they're unloading all of that energy. Then the malignant is gaslighting and manipulative and will follow narcissistic abuse recovery Instagram pages, because of course they're the victim that was victimized by the empath, who they saw as the narcissist, right? So we get that whole head game going. Don't you just love that? Don't you love when you've dated somebody that you know is like a Ted Bundy in the making, and then you look at who they follow on Instagram, and they follow all of the narcissistic abuse recovery survivor pages? Oh my God, look at what has happened to me. I'm the victim. Meanwhile, they are like the mastermind, slithery snake narcissist that is actually kind of hard to spot unless they're doing their crap to you. I mean, it's just, you just cannot make this stuff up, right? And like the empath is saying, this person is evil. I don't want to be that person. So how dare you compare me to the narcissist? It's not in a literal way. The empath isn't exercising out the narcissism the same way that the malignant or the destructive narcissist is. So I just want to be very clear about that. But it is still narcissism. So anytime somebody says, well, I'm an empath, they say, okay, so what you're telling me is you're a disempowered empath. Because an empowered empath probably wouldn't even say that. You're speaking from the wounded part of the empath, which is like, I'm the empath. And so as a result, I feel a lot. I get overwhelmed. I get taken advantage of. And I get victimized. And all of that is true. But saying that you're the empath means that you're saying all that. So I just want to let people know, like, when you say that, people like me know what you're saying. We can see behind, you know, the curtain. So you're saying a lot when you say that. I'm the empath. I'm the disempowered empath is what you're saying. Because the empowered empath doesn't even need to say that. And so when we come to the place of compassion, it's just us having an open heart, mainly to ourselves. So I used to kind of like frame the compassion work as we open up our heart to the people around us that are carrying our suffering. For an empath, that is a very tricky and slippery slope. That is a very complicated thing to say, because an empath is going to internalize that and say, like, oh, well, if I have to have my heart open to everybody else around me, then that means I don't have boundaries and I let people just come in and out of my life and do whatever they want here. I'm just supposed to not have a reaction to it. No, bullshit. Mm-mm, wrong. And so I think it sends a really mixed message on how an empath is going to hear that message when we say open your heart to the people around you and have send compassion out to the people around you. I'm getting to the place now where I feel like the disempowered empath could and should only hear, open up your heart to yourself. Open your heart up and send that energy out to all of the parts of you that need the support, so you can find the empowerment of the boundary of compassion. So it's not about anybody else. It's about you. It always is. And I don't mean just the empaths. Everybody. Life is only about you. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It's not anybody else that's causing the problem. It's you needing to do the work on yourself when you encounter your problem shown to you in other people. And that's what this comes down to. And that's why the healing work is so important. And self first is not selfish. So when you turn that compassion towards yourself and you're putting yourself first, this crazy, wacky society that we live in will have you believe that if you put your needs first, that's somehow narcissism. That's selfish. No, people don't even know what the freaking word means. I've heard people say like, oh, he's a clinical narcissist. Like, a clinical narcissist. I mean, what the hell is that? I'm a clinician. What is a clinical narcissist? Somebody please tell me. I've never heard that term used. I've been in the field since 2014, almost 10 years. Never once have I heard a clinician, psychologist, psychiatrist, or any therapist of any kind use the term clinical narcissist. I mean, what? People just love making up these words and acting like, you know, they're speaking from this place of experience and expertise. And this stuff is so nuanced that it's just, I just feel like it's continuing to unfold, you know, the more we learn about this and the more we have different flares of narcissism show up in our society. There's one doctor that I don't really follow her that much anymore, though, because there was one video, because she's supposedly, well, she not supposedly, I mean, she is an expert on narcissistic personality disorder. She also talks about many other different kinds of personality disorders. By the way, narcissism doesn't necessarily, we all have narcissistic wounds that we project out. When it becomes a personality disorder, it becomes totally ingrained in that person, and that's who they are everywhere they go. And it's really become a core part of them. That ego persona has totally taken over and is not letting any of the archetypes that live in them speak. And it might stay that way for their whole life. And that the real pathological version of it is the actual disorder. But she's an expert on the disorder, and she speaks about it. And she did this video one time about like people that like are obsessed with their eyebrows being narcissists. And like, I don't know, maybe because I'm obsessed with my eyebrows, I had a reaction to this. But it just, either way, it just seemed kind of odd. Like, okay, we're going to assess somebody's eyebrows, and that's how we're going to know they're a narcissist. It's like, now I think we're kind of dancing in a funky pop culture-y kind of realm. So I just haven't been interested to go back and listen to her work, but I think if you do, Dr. Romani on YouTube, she is a great source of information on this. And I think anytime you watch some of the like the codependency life coaches or people that specialize in narcissistic abuse recovery, they're saying some amazing stuff, and they hit the nail right on the head. So you don't need a psychologist. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a licensed therapist to tell you the ins and outs of what this is. The life coaches that specialize in this area really know their stuff, because they are really speaking from lifelong experience, a lot of them. So I just want to break that down, because it's going to be the primary way that an empath is going to turn from a disempowered empath to an empowered empath, is to let go of this idea of empathy and really work to transmute that into compassion, where you can be present with people who are suffering, not take it on, have a clear psychic and energetic boundary that their shit is their shit and yours is yours, and that the only way that you can help yourself and anybody else around you is to have the boundary in which your soul stays in and doesn't jump out into other people. You drop into the heart. You see the heart as the protective container that will help you do this process of alchemy, transmuting the empathy into the higher vibration, which is the compassion, where you can be still and not be hooked by other people's projections. You're not going to get dragged into other people's dramas. You're not going to have the emotional reactions to the narcissists that poke and prod through their gaslighting and their manipulative abuse. You're just going to be non-reactive. You're just going to be neutral. And you're going to be the happiest you've ever been in your entire life, because you're going to be, the house inside is going to be clean, not have any clutter. And you're going to have a clear sense of where you're going with this. And so I'm developing a course right now that blends astrology, Chironic astrology, and your Chironic asteroid placement in your natal chart with the tool of dropping into the heart and establishing the compassion for the self, moving out of the space of empathy. So I'm going to be gearing this program towards the disempowered empath, because I think my service to this world comes from my own self-discovery journey to find a place of inner peace and stillness where the pain is not leading the way. And as an empath, I have not chosen that path consciously. I mean, my soul chose to come here and do this work. But I didn't choose to be an empath. I didn't choose to go to school to be a therapist. Like I said in a previous episode, I didn't even know I was in school to be a therapist until I was in my second year of the program. I was led to this. And I was led to this because it's my own wound. And I am hell-bent on mastering it. And I feel like it's the biggest gift that I can give to the collective is to help empower the disempowered empath as I continue along my journey to find out how you do that. And this is it right here. So, the course is going to be coming out probably January 1st, and we're going to continue to do edits to the course. We'll continue to release different parts of the course that can be purchased as add-on features. Then there'll be an app that will go with it, and there will also be a workbook, and you'll be able to get the workbook on Amazon in print. It's first going to be a PDF, and then it'll be print. So if you're an empath who's disempowered, and you want to find out how you move into the space of an empowered empath, and you're interested or open to astrology, and let me just say, this is a method that I've developed that isn't, you know, the Chironic astrologers out there have already done the work, but I've developed the pieces in which I've put all of this together. The transforming the empathy into compassion with heart-centered meditation and bringing in the Chironic astrology in order to do that. And put all this together, and I continue to be a good PhD researcher, where I continue to be critical of my own theory and do whatever I can to try to test it again. And this has come up with 100% accuracy in every real life situation that I've used it with, where I look at your chart, I examine your Chironic placement, and I know exactly what your primary core cosmic wound is, that if you work on that, everything else will work itself out. And this process is incredibly empowering to the disempowered empath, because it's all about turning your attention inward, looking at what your core wound is, and just staying with that and just focusing there and doing it with an open heart of the vibration of compassion. So the focus is the compassion. And that's the boundary that's necessary for all empaths to survive and give their gift to the world. So, just wanted to jump on here and outline all of that, and hopefully there's some empaths out there that just had a wake-up call, because it's what's needed. You were made for this world, and you were made to live in this world at this time. Whether you like it or not, your soul signed up to carry this responsibility, and it's your job to learn how to transmute the empathy into compassion, in my opinion. That's why you're here. That's the task that you signed up for. And you were made for this moment. So if you're feeling burnt out, and if you're feeling exhausted and resentful and burdened by everybody else's emotions, guess what? This episode was for you to hear, and the program that I'm building is exactly for you. So stay tuned to see when that comes out. You can go to the website, www.thirdrealmintegration.com, or give me a follow on Instagram, or LinkedIn, or Facebook, or whatever. And I think I gotta get on some other platforms too. But that's where it is, you guys. That's where it is. So let's get real so we can heal. You see what I'm saying? All right, I'm gonna leave it there. It's been a blessing to spend this episode with you guys, and I hope you got something from it. To all my empaths out there, stay steady. Stay steady, because the gift that you have, it's only a matter of time before you can turn it into the elixir of the personal medicine. And I have found a way through personal experience to do that, and I'm going to share it with you guys. So stay tuned. All right, you guys, I'll leave it there. It has been real. I will catch you on the next episode. May the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody. The Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only, and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation, or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor. right, you guys, here it is. On the nature of empathy and compassion from the Human Reform Politics Facebook page, this is unknown author. Empathy is the seed of compassion. While empathy is the trigger, compassion is the stimulus born from an awareness of need that triggers our supportive and beneficial response. Compassion occurs when empathic emotions penetrate our consciousness and motivate us to restore the health, safety, and general well-being of our fellow humans.